The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back, and it's going to be a very interesting 9/11. This is 9/11. It's been 14 years, and it's something that you kind of ask yourself, what have we learned in 14 years about this? Dr. Judy Wood, PhD, has been involved in this from nearly the beginning. I've had Judy on the program several times. The last time was over 4 years ago. And she's a remarkable woman, has her own view of things, and it is backed up with an extraordinary amount of data. She dug and dug and dug, and my question to Judy is, well, first of all, hi, Judy. Welcome back.
Hello. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. How's that crazy scientist, the mad scientist you're with?
Friend of yours.
The friend of yours.
I haven't seen him lately. He's on the West Coast.
Yeah, still there. Okay.
Having a good time, though. He's doing something else and is having a good time, which is good. He deserves it.
Good. Oh, he has. He's paid a price. He has come up with some wonderful things that they've been thrown back in his face. Just crazy. Anyway, I'm glad he's doing well and you're still friends with him and so forth. So,
let me ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
How do you cover up irrefutable evidence?
How do you cover up irrefutable evidence? A bulldozer? A thermonuclear explosion?
You call it an opinion or a view
or
a hypothesis.
Very good. Yeah.
But it works. The object is to create doubt in something that is certain. Empirical evidence is certain. Well, maybe the towers aren't there. Maybe they are. I guess we'll never know.
How much, Judy, have you learned? Now, Judy Wood published her own book, hardback, beautiful book, on the subject of her investigation into 9/11. Extraordinary book.
You know that it's the only comprehensive forensic investigation on what happened to the buildings that exists in the public domain?
Yeah, I believe it. I don't know anybody else who's done the kind of work you've done. My first question is, how much have you learned about 9/11 since the last time you were on this program, four plus years ago?
Oh, a tremendous amount, and it keeps increasing too, especially the fact that disinformation continues to be covered up, and it needs to be covered up at all cost. Why is that? Well, for a while I thought it was because of the new type of energy technology that shows that we don't need to buy into the, you know, the oil industry. You could have basically limitless free energy that's clean energy. And so I was thinking that that technology needed to be covered up.
Sure.
And that was the objective. But there's something else I realized. Yeah, he who controls the energy controls the people. But he who controls their perception controls everything. And 9/11 was about perception management. I've known from the beginning that it was an attack on human consciousness. It sort of shut down people's ability to think.
It did, and you're right. It was an attack on people's consciousness and their subconsciousness. It went all the way down.
Exactly. Exactly. And what went into their subconsciousness, I'm now finally figuring out and seeing it all come together. And it begins with 9/11. If people don't understand exactly what happened then, they're lost. They sort of became brainwashed and shut down. And if you've read my book, you know, from front to back, the beginning of the book, I really have to deprogram people.
Judy, I have to tell you, I don't have time to read TV Guide. Not that I would, but I have looked at your book from front to back.
That's why you thought it was a view or a perspective. But when you read through it, in the beginning, wipes the slate clean. It isn't, the official story. There's no way you can think it's the official story. And then you realize it isn't what you thought it was either. And then you're ready to start looking at the evidence. It just takes you through the evidence. But people can't go through the evidence until they get deprogrammed from what other preconceived ideas they have. And that's the most difficult part because, who wants to read a whole book? So that keeps the cover up pretty safe because people want a Twitter length phrase, a sound bite.
Sure.
they don't want to sit down and read a book.
No, the attention span of the average American is, I figure, 3 to 5 minutes on YouTube.
And that is part of the problem, too, because YouTube is controlling their thinking. And folks have asked why my book isn't in electronic form. There's several reasons, but one of the biggest reasons is when it's in your hands, you sit down on the sofa to read it. It's just you and the book. You don't have to save face with anyone to realize you got hoodwinked. So you're more able to go through it because nobody's watching. But the biggest thing is you read something, like a paragraph, and you look into space. And you think about what you read. You contemplate what it means and the implications. And you put things together more and you understand them more. When you read things electronically, you scan, and it's basically just looking at lists of talking points and grabbing them and run. You don't stop to think, does that make sense?
And, stop to think about much of anything if you're the average American. You're a reactive, drooling zombie who is not a proactive, inquisitive researcher. They don't do anything anymore except walk around and get tooled and tricked and influenced by the various stimuli that the media puts out. And I mean the media,
exactly.
I mean the corporate media, I mean all of it.
Exactly. And if you question the official story, they have a secondary official story for you, and you get routed in there, and you think you're clever because you
question. They have fallback positions. Yeah.
Like a second net. And, the street movement got going, and if you don't like airplanes running into buildings, making them fall down, we had Bin Laden direct the terrorists into putting, thermite in the building.
Isn't he amazing? That guy, Bin Laden, one of the great magicians of our age.
Yeah, but then the rest of that story is the same. Everything else is still the same. Why did they need to use this technology?
Uh-huh.
And why did they need to expose it to the world and take the risk of somebody identifying it? Well, obvious, it's pretty easy to manage the few people who do, or are able to see it, like I've been managed. What I mean by managed is
I understand.
The cover-up business.
Of course.
So for a while, the truthers were saying, well, they wanted to start a war for oil. And so that's why, you know, that was the purpose. Well, that never made sense to me because, you know, you don't have to go to that much trouble. Why not just run an airplane into the building? Why do you have to cause total devastation of the building, total destruction of the building? You know, you just, you know, cause some havoc and people get upset and then you can go to war. That was the reason. There's something else to it.
There is. Yeah, there is. We annihilated a country over absolutely nothing except greed and avarice and a lust to kill and feed off the grief and the agony of dying and destroyed humanity. It's really evil.
Want me to talk about something new here?
Sure.
You've never heard before.
Please.
One of the other things I learned is that they tell you what they're going to do before they do it because they don't want to leave your interpretation up to chance.
I call it telegraphing, and you're 100% right.
And so that message would go into the subconscious. Okay, so let's go back to this total destruction. I call it dustification, or the towers went poof. They did not collapse. We can go through a lot of reasons behind that.
Yeah.
But this total destruction, total devastation, so, you know, amazing destruction that it caused people's brains to stop working. They didn't know how to interpret what they saw. And that shut them down. And they kind of became numb and wandered around in stupor. And I saw my colleagues, you know, fellow, you know, faculty in the Department of Mechanical Engineering who should be able to think through these things, but they were shut down. It affected them. And it was rather incredible.
Uh-huh.
And so that's something that has always puzzled me, as to how this event just caused the brain to shut down. But things, you know, went into the subconscious, trauma-based mind control comes to mind, you know, that worked easily. So what was the message? The message was total destruction. Okay, what was on the airplanes? You know, Islamists or Muslims equals total destruction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's in the subconscious.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so, you know, now, let's say, They always give you, you know, some other story. I'm going to jump to a different thing. We're going to jump back and forth.
Yeah.
There's something that, you know, I've learned from listening to how various truthers try to cover up what I'm doing or mislead people. Well, it's my interpretation that she says it was a laser beam from outer space. See, they've added that qualifier. You know, I've refuted
talking about you,
space.
Talking
yes.
about you. Now, they have hung so many weird canards around your neck over
right,
the years.
But it's the way they've done it. See, they say, it's my understanding that she's talking about laser beams from outer space or whatever it is. See, they're not stating that they know that's what I'm talking about, so they're not officially lying. They have an out. They have a plausible deniability, so they can't be hung for that,
mm-hmm.
for spreading
mm-hmm.
disinfo. Because
mm-hmm.
they say, oh, well, that's my understanding.
Right.
So I've learned to be very sensitive to that trick that gets played. And so when I heard this thing about all the data breach, that we think it was China. Bing! Touchdown. Where's the evidence it was China? You know, that hacked into the government's computers and got you know, the big data breach.
Yeah.
Where's the proof it was China?
Yeah. There is none.
But that they're planting that seed. So if, for example,
all they have to do is say it, and it's planted. You're right.
Yeah.
And they can nurture it and grow it and water it and fertilize it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The bigger the lie, the easier it is for people to swallow. And the more familiar the lie, the easier it is for them to swallow.
Yep. So let's say they want to take somebody out of circulation and mess them up. Well, they do this identity theft, and the people think it was China doing it. There's nothing new about it.
I know, it's absurd.
Because there's no recourse if people don't look for what really happened.
What we have, Judy, is an ever-diminishing gross intellect among our species. Not to mention the war on the Caucasians.
Oh, extremely. And that's why I think it's very important for people to read my book, because it's a clear set of evidence that gets people to observe what is right in front of them.
The portions of the book I did read, I did take time and read parts of it. Absolutely fabulous.
And so being able to see and then go back to that day and say, why did I get hoodwinked? And realize it was right in front of them all along, and so few people on the planet saw it. And the more people can see what's in front of them and understand what's real and what's not and be able to focus and tune out, it's also problem-solving skills. Being able to tune out this other stuff. So there's various, things that get dropped like that. Now, knowing that, about that trick with saying that China did it, let's look at another thing. We have this deal with Iran that, Iran's developing nukes mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, yeah. They'll have them in their retail stores by the end of next week.
Right, right. And whatever is going on. So if, for example, let's say, I don't have anything to do with it. I'm just speculating here. So any listeners don't need to get, haul me off to Gitmo or wherever the hell you do now. But let's say San Francisco gets what people think is nuked. They're going to say, mm-hmm. darn that Obama for making that deal, and now we got nuked. But it turns out it was the same technology that destroyed the towers. That plant is in people's minds that they're now ready to say it was Muslims. Muslims and nukes.
Well, they got enough patsies around. They'll never run out. Never.
Right, but there's you could destroy tremendous amount of stuff with this technology.
Well, and by the
way, nobody would see it.
No one would see it. No one understands that today's nukes. If you go back and do a search for Davy Crockett, U.S. Mm-hmm. Army, all right. Well, you know what this is. In the 1950s, they had an artillery shell that was a nuclear bomb. And they could put it in a large artillery piece, fire it away, five miles or whatever, and it would go off. It was a nuke. And that you could pick it up like the size of a large loaf of bread with a powdered charge behind it. It was small. And the point is, they're really small now. Mm-hmm. They've made lots of progress. Baseball size, softball size, it doesn't matter. Shape charges.
But this technology is much cleaner.
It doesn't. It doesn't leave the long telltale strain of radioactivity behind it. You're right.
Right. Right. And so if you wanted to, for example, reboot the planet, let's talk extremes. Just, I'm hypothesizing here. You want to reboot the planet and leave just a few people left. But you don't want people to know what you're doing. They still need people to grow their food for them and, peasants in the field or whatnot. You could take down the whole planet that way without killing life.
Neutron weaponry, and probably successors to that or variants.
That kills life, but not, physical objects. It's the other way around.
Well, what I was saying, the successors to it. And, yes, quite.
And so, being aware of it isn't what you think it is, what you're seeing. And I think things are going to get really crazy in the near future, where it's so important for people to not make assumptions, but to know what it is that they know, that they know that they know, and know that everything else they don't know, and not to make assumptions. Magic tricks are pulled with assumptions. You're led to assume the wrong problem, so you're solving the wrong problem and don't see the right problem. So that's why you don't understand what just happened. Like for example, the magician splits the deck and has a person in the front row draw a first card and show it to everybody. And then he turns around and he has the person slip the card back in the deck, making sure that the magician didn't see. And then he goes through all these fancy shuffling techniques to make sure it's shuffled in there so he can't find it. And after he shows him about 10 different, shuffles, then he whips out the card. Ah, how do you do that? He knew what card it was the person drew. Mm-hmm. The magic was up front, or the trick was up front. where people were led to believe it was in the shuffling or something. You know, they're trying to solve the wrong problem.
Right.
And that is how so much stuff is done. And it takes a lot of discipline to know what it is that you know, and not make assumptions, because people are brought up on, you know, cue cards. That's jumping to an answer.
Jumping to answers. Well, you said we were going to be jumping around, and we are.
Well, it was some various samples and to bring that together. But what happened on 9/11 is understandable to, you know, anybody with a fourth grade what used to be a fourth grade education.
Mm-hmm. Now it's about the first.
Or it's need a college degree to understand what we used to understand fourth grade. But it was right in front of people. And that's something that boggled my mind for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I didn't grow up on television. I don't have television.
I took my television away 27 years ago now.
And you end up seeing something different. But now the internet's kind of taken that role over. And
the internet, Judy, in my opinion, and this is really important, the internet is a godlike presence on the planet. It is so powerful. And whatever it is now, it's going to double in the next couple of years, 3 years. It's going to be the most dominant thing in the history of this planet. Through the internet, the controllers will try to exert, and they will exert, their control. They will carve this planet into the shape that they want and the people in it. They'll do whatever they want. It is the most addictive thing I have ever seen humanity involved with. These kids walking around with their smartphones, they can't even turn them off and put them away for 5 minutes. They got to keep looking for text, for voicemail, and if they get it, they all of a sudden have worth. It makes them feel they have worth.
You're absolutely right. And again, that contemplation thing about reading books, they don't do that. And someone was even commenting about now when students come out of class, the first thing they do is whip out their cell phone to see what they missed.
That's exactly
rather
right.
Rather than, you know, contemplate
movie
what they
theaters
just
too. You watch it in a movie theater, as soon as the film's over, all these screens light up. It's embarrassing.
What about absorbing, you know, like what you just learned in class and discussing it with someone?
Not anymore. Nope.
It's all like sound bites and talking points lists.
Talking heads. You will not teach and learn in class. You will not be taught like you used to be. I can't see it coming back at all. It's just not going to happen.
I can't either. And that was part of what the problem was in 9/11. You know, for a while, there was three things that I saw that kept people from seeing what happened in 9/11. Mm-hmm. I still think it's true. Is the first thing is a
can
lack
you hold
of
on, Judy? I got
it.
Let me take a break, just
oh,
a
okay.
second. Yeah, and people just stared and they reacted and they drooled and they asked questions, but not the right questions. Hold on, we'll be right back with Dr. Judy Wood, PhD. Okay, back with Dr. Judy Wood, and we're talking about 9/11, some of the more eclectic aspects of it, and there are many of those surfacing now. It's been 14 years, and she has learned an awful lot. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, back to my book, Where Did the Towers Go? You know, that's the question that others should have been asking, where's the material? But it went right into their consciousness, memorized talking points of terrorists, pile, collapse. terrorist pile collapse. And they just memorized that, and so they didn't see what was right before them.
No, they were told to memorize it. That's what they were given.
And instead, you know, it's hard to get people to look again because they have to work through that brainwashing, to put it bluntly. And so what folks have said, and I agree with them, my book is a course in critical thinking. And it had to be to get people through that to see what is there.
Right. You were ahead. Your book was way ahead of its time in some ways. It just was.
But it isn't just about 9/11. It's a book on critical thinking.
Correct.
With
you got it.
Anything.
Absolutely. Yes. It's how to approach the new world order as an individual or a small group. You've got to learn these tools.
Right, and to see what is there, and to be careful not to get hoodwinked. And various folks who've gotten to the book, they, you know, it's changed their perspective. When they see other things, they can pick up on these other things very easily. And learn to have tunnel vision of seeing what you know and let go of what you know and don't know. It's very easy to make assumptions and to speculate, but that doesn't do anything for figuring out what is real. Because think of it, if you're in a magic show, and that's what we're in, where things get turned upside down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Including gender confusion.
Oh, well, that's been on the roster for years. It's now manifesting itself horribly, hideously. They're telling children as young as 3 and 4 in school that, oh, it's just a lifestyle choice.
They get to pick which gender they are.
Yeah, don't worry.
So they don't know who they are.
No, they don't. And they never will, many of them. They'll live lives of confusion. And that's what the controllers want. They want homogenized chaos and confusion. They're going to get it. This is the game. It's game, set, and match. They're too much in control. And they will kill us all rather than give that control up. I'm sorry. It's too late to take to the streets. It's too late to sign BS petitions. petitions do no good. It's too late to call your congressman. It's gone.
But save yourself.
That's it. Save yourself and those around you who care to learn.
That's why I'm speaking to the listeners out there, to be able to sort what you know that you know that you know, and to know that everything else you don't know. And I, of course, highly suggest reading my book because it takes you through familiar territory.
It's a multidimensional book.
Yeah,
it really is.
And it's easy to read, and it's gentle going through it. That you look at things, and pretty soon it affects you. It's like, oh, I can see things now for myself. And then, you know, of course, go out in the world and see if you can try it out too, and learn to hold back on not going where they're trying to take you. I guess you're told not what's going on.
No, everything you're told is not what's going on at all. Couldn't be more correct. I don't necessarily want to get into the 9/11 tower collapses yet. Anything else you want to put on the table? You put some remarkable points forward already.
I was just going to call you on the collapse. It's hard to discipline yourself because words are very powerful and they control your thinking.
Well, they used to be amongst people who are intelligent. The mass majority now, words have become banal, hackneyed, they're overused. They just don't, and some of the things going on, I honest to God, do not have the words to adequately describe them.
Then make a new word.
Well, everybody seems to be. Words change, the language change. It's a fluid language, they tell us now. So, yeah, make a new word.
But if there isn't a word to properly describe, you know, a characteristic or a phenomenon, using an existing word to describe it is incorrect.
I agree.
You know, I use the example of, you see this hazy, you know, environment at the World Trade Center. If you call it smoke, you're automatically assuming fire is the cause.
The connection is undeniable. You're right.
So
it wasn't
fumes.
Smoke. It was
you find
not,
a, yeah, you find
fumes,
a comfortable, benign word.
Fumes works. Perfect. Good for you. Wasn't smoke.
Just like...
I used to call it dust, but fumes is better.
Yeah, it's this hazy atmosphere.
Yeah.
Just like pulverization is incorrect. That's kinetic energy that grinds something up.
Correct.
And if it's turning into dust in midair without hitting anything, it can't be pulverization. And vaporization implies
high heat.
Nobody's
saying, Judy, nobody thinks that deeply. Nobody I know does, and I'm not knocking my friends.
That's why they're hoodwinked about it. That's why they get hoodwinked about it.
Yeah.
And so, vaporization isn't true because, you know, thermal energy didn't destroy the buildings. And how I went about the problem solving was, you know, looking at the destructive mechanism.
Right.
And so already I'm saying how we can rule out kinetic energy. The building was not beaten to death.
No.
And we can rule out thermal energy. The building wasn't cooked to death. You know, you have all this unburned paper flying around.
Right.
And you have 13 first responders plus one civilian who were in Stairway B who thought they're goners. They thought they had 106 stories of debris on top of them. But then the dust cleared, they looked up, saw blue sky, and walked out.
It's 20%, isn't it, 20% supposedly hard residue left at the bottom of a building demolition? Something
I don't know what that rule of thumb is, but this was, a very small fraction of it.
Oh, it's
and
tiny.
They just, you know, looked up, saw blue sky. They couldn't believe it. Like, and then they're on their walkie-talkies before that, telling their buddies where they were. We're in, you know, Tower 1, Stairway B. Where are you? Stairway B, Tower 1. They kept saying, and finally the person on the outside said, where's Tower 1? They couldn't see Tower 1. It was gone.
That's true. That's true. Wow.
And these guys, one of them described coming out into like an empty football field. Where's the building?
Wow.
It was just missing. But people didn't know. They didn't have an answer for that. So if you're going to jump to an answer, you know, a multiple choice question, you don't have a slot for that. So then they start putting it into something else.
They do. They certainly do.
It's a tendency.
All right. Hold on a sec, Judy. We have to pause for another couple minutes. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Dr. Judy Wood, and yours truly, will be right back. Okay, back with Dr. Judy Wood, PhD, and we're talking about 9/11. But more than that, we're talking about really the remaking of the planet, the restructuring of everything, the dumbing down of the average human being. The encapsulizing.
Yes, 9/11 is what really, it was lighting of the fuse for this.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be another similar event with more casualties if they feel they need it?
I think I just described earlier the what kind of thing I think might go on.
Yeah, go ahead and revisit that if you would, just for our listeners who joined us late.
That if you understand what happened on 9/11, like if you've read my book and really understand it, then you might see it. It's in, again, they tell you what they're going to do before, well, because, you know, what happened on 9/11, embedded in your subconscious is a scenario that you're going to believe what's going to happen in the future. And it was put in there for a reason. you know, Muslims, total destruction. That's mm-hmm. the only conclusion I can come to as to mm-hmm. why they had to use this technology
mm-hmm.
and not something else, because it was total destruction. That's what really blew people away.
Yeah. Well, that's an irrevocable subconscious construct now.
Yep.
Even though it wasn't, that's not what happened. It doesn't matter because it's there. It's just, I'll use another example.
It's programming.
It's like the 6 million in the Holocaust. It's a construct. It's there. It's in the subconscious. Never mind the plaques at Auschwitz have gone from 4.5 million down to approximately 1 million. What's the difference? 3 million. Well, it seems to me 3 from 6 million ought to equal 3, but it's still 6 somehow. That's magic with a K.
Yeah, but it's what the programming does. And
that's right.
You know, I was saying how the truthers initially were saying, well, they did it so that we could go to war, you know, for oil.
It wasn't for oil.
And no, you don't need to go to that much trouble. You just run an airplane into the towers, then you can go to war. Why? What required that total dustification of the buildings? Total annihilation of the buildings.
Fumigation.
Yeah, it was just gone. Almost, you know, not everything, but almost everything.
They didn't find nothing in the debris. There were no desks. There were no chairs.
Right. The ambulance is parked in front of Tower 1, and you see the ambulance there, and there's nothing left of Tower 1. And that was a 110-story building.
Okay. What does that tell you, folks? Now think. I'm not speaking down at anyone here, but think. How can that be? How can an ambulance be right next to a building that disappears, basically?
And the ambulance is still, intact.
Serviceable. Yeah.
Well, it didn't have any dents on it. The only thing I could see is the door might be a little bit, you know, angled.
Uh-huh.
But there's no dents.
No.
It wasn't clobbered. It wasn't dinged up with anything.
No. No. Yeah, I agree.
And also, if you have bombs in there, the bombs, you know, shoot debris. And all the adjacent buildings would look machine gun fired.
They'd have shrapnel holes in them and all kinds of things, yeah.
Didn't. As a matter of fact, the windows had routed holes in them on the outer pane, while the inner pane is still intact.
Oh, really? And that I don't remember.
There's a part of that in the book. You can see some of the pictures. But there's, I'd love to see a high school kid raise his hand in physics class. Say, teacher, how do they do that? When I hit my baseball through a window, it makes a spider web pattern. The whole window.
See, this is a physics issue. I wish we had a physics expert to come along. You are a physics expert now.
Right. That's why I know that it doesn't work that way, because I'm also a materials expert. Window glass is very brittle.
Mm-hmm.
When something hard hits it, it bows out. Brittle material is not good in tension, but that outer surface would be in tension. That's why it cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the crack just propagates through the material.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how do you get a rounded hole in the glass but no other cracks? Just like, how
it's
do you get
magic,
a glass cutter
Judy.
To do it?
Magic.
Well, it's been replicated. Longitudinal waves do that.
Huh.
Energy waves.
Uh-huh.
There's you start looking around, you see a lot of strange things, but if somebody didn't know what to think of it, they just tune it out and ignore it. But you look at all the various things, they all add up to the same thing. Now, I say that it wasn't, we're going to revisit that thing, that's right. So you have this total annihilation of the building. But in people's subconscious is drilled in there, Muslims, total destruction. Muslims, total destruction. The airplanes are in there too.
That's it. No, it's sure. Airplanes, Muslims, total destruction. Exactly. That's as far and as deep as most subconscious databases will go.
The reason why I know airplanes are in there, because I show people what happened to buildings. They say, we saw the airplanes on TV. I said, well, you saw, the planes, the buildings turned to dust in midair. Well, yeah, but we saw the planes on TV. Well, airplanes don't turn buildings to dust in midair. Well, you saying there weren't any airplanes? Well, but we saw them. You saying they're fake airplanes? Well, real airplanes don't turn buildings into dust in midair, and neither do fake airplanes.
No, but
so airplanes are a distraction.
It doesn't necessarily exclude the airplane.
Right. You know, whether they're real or fake, it doesn't matter.
No, the airplane to me was a cover for what was used.
I call it the getaway car.
That's perfect. Very good.
It works on people because they're so emotionally attached to the airplane, they need that dealt with before
they
consider.
Also have to have an explanation. They have to have an answer. They can't go around.
Where'd it go? If it didn't end up in the buildings, where is it? But it was very deep into people's psyche, the airplane story. So, yeah, airplanes, Muslims, total destruction. So if you want to...
Never mind about Daniel Levin. Nobody talks about him. The Mossad agent in one of the planes.
However the story goes, but I just looked at physically what happened to the buildings. So if this programming's in there and other programmings, it's easy to trigger later. So we're going to have total destruction of something, and you're going to believe it was Muslims that did it.
Without even being told, that'll be your reflex. You won't even need to be told. And then when they show pictures, when they talk about it, it'll just reinforce what's in your subconscious, of course.
And now with this deal with Iran, people worry about Iran, building nukes. That's just so easy. If something happens to a city, Iran must have built their nuke.
That would be the first scapegoat, fall guy, false flag. Somebody tell me what the Iranians are going to do with a nuke or two if they build them? Can somebody tell me logically what a 3,000-year-old civilization, the Persian Empire?
But it doesn't matter. People are going to believe.
That's what their paradigm is.
A nuke strapped on an airplane is headed this way.
That's what their paradigm will be. And that'll make the false flag a piece of cake?
Yep. That's where I was getting at. Like, I was using, for example, I'm not part of this. I'm just saying, for example, San Francisco, if that is totally annihilated, that must have been a Muslim that did it from Iran.
Well, I knew that. No one has to tell me that.
Gosh. Right. Right. And then let's see what
those Iranians get everywhere. It's amazing how they go everywhere.
And that's
stupid.
So
I don't want to bring in politics, but that ass Hillary and others will declare war on Iran immediately. It makes you ashamed of being a member of this so-called sentient species. I mean, it really does.
But the way this was built up, and it's like if Iran really was a threat, there's no way these guys should be doing what they're doing. So what other explanation is there other than they're lining this some story up where
they're being used?
They're
going to be used. Oh, of course. False flag. Iran.
Yep.
Iranians. And who will be pushing it? The
whoever.
City of London control media. We'll just leave it at that. Okay.
Yeah, whoever's minding the store,
90% of the corporate media in this country, owned by six corporations or five. It's so easy.
But directed by one.
But thank you. Thank you very much. You're correct. It's so easy.
That's why I think it's funny about this, like this Donald Trump business. I really can feel like I relate to him because of what's happened with me. It's like they want to shape people's opinions, so you're supposed to hate this guy. So plus they need a distraction.
They are going after him.
And they can't control him. That's the fun part.
No.
They can't control him.
I've tried to make that point on this program. He has touched a chord somewhere in this subconscious, this collective subconscious, unconscious, and he's fun. He's different. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give him that. I'll never back off from that. The guy is not a seedy liar. He's a billionaire. He's made a lot of money. We live in that kind of environment.
They don't like people they can't control.
No. Oh, no. That's why it's said that Hillary was booted out last time. They couldn't control her.
Yeah. What I see, in how Trump was managing things, it's really been kind of fun watching. But it was reminiscent of, I was learning as I went. and how badly the truthers, you know, were trying to control me, and it wasn't working. And so they start throwing everything on it. It just drives them nuts when they can't control you.
Absolutely. Okay, we have to pause here for our top of the hour break. Dr. Judy Wood is our guest. We'll come right back. Another hour to go with Judy, so stand by.